Damian Mason, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Julia. Glad to be here.
Now, you have shared some of your top ideas for success in your new book. So let's start with you. How has your own passion for success driven your professions?
Well, I live what I write, and you read my book, Do Business Better. I talked a lot about traits, the traits of success that I came up with a decade ago when I was a guest lecturer at an entrepreneur class. I've never had a formal business plan. I quit my job in 1994 to become a professional political comedian. I had two driving reasons for doing that. I wanted greater compensation, and I wanted greater creativity. But along with that was a bigger vision. I want to be independent. I want to be entrepreneurial. I want to continue to create things. I want to create something that the world loves. I want to create something that can make me wealthy. And it's not because of the greed for the wealth, as I point out in my book. Wealth to me is freedom. A certain amount of money invested means that I can say no. And there's a time in my life, certainly being a poor farm kid, the youngest of nine children, and my dad worked nights on the railroad, you couldn't say no to a job. You couldn't say no to an offer because you had to take it. So I look at it as what you can do to create a life and business by choice. So Julia, more each day of what I choose, less each day of what I would not choose to do.
Okay, public speaking versus writing, comedy versus lecture. How do you balance your energy and your expertise? And how does it motivate you to do more, do better? Plus, how do you teach other people that?
Okay, well, I would say, first off, delivering funny from stage, because my background's in comedy. I don't really do comedy anymore, but I still deliver speeches in a funny way, because if you put out a program, and in that hour, 25% of it is humor, that means that 15 minutes of that 60-minute program you delivered about business was still funny. There's an entertainment aspect to it, and humans remember from stories. They also remember when there's a humorous aspect to it. So when you talk funny, you have intonation, you have timing, you have crowd interaction. It's hard to write funny. Now, I got a good compliment from several people that read my book, and they said, this book sounds like you. I said, well, good. I wrote it, and I write like I talk. That's a good thing. When you talk seriously, but then break off and say something funny, you can go back and forth. There's a talent there. There's also a learned aspect to it, as you alluded, because I have been in front of thousands of audiences and I came up doing comedy. So I have the ability to naturally do that. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying it's something I have an ability to do. Some of it's natural and some of it is learned. I've always said you can't teach funny. I have friends that are comedy guys that do comedy classes, and I say, you know what? I'm going to start up classes called Teach You How to Be Tall, because you can teach a funny person to be funnier. You cannot teach a non-funny person to be funny. You can't teach comedy. You can teach some skills to a funny person to make them funnier. That's really the way I look at the whole thing. So the same thing can be about traits. We talk about traits in the book. I don't know that I can teach you to be more risk tolerant, but I can at least logically put risk in its place. The thing is, risk intolerance usually is an emotional thing. That's why people stress and they get ulcers and all that. Those are emotions. Those are not logical things that cause that. So I can logically put risk in its place and tell you that maybe the world's not as risky as you might think, and this business endeavor is not going to cause you to go broke. Here's why. But it's the emotion that always causes people their problem.
Can you logically put emotion in its place then?
It's difficult. One of my book's chapters is about managing your emotional state. And as I point out, you can be emotional. You're human. But I will not forgive you for being emotional about your business. There are times that you just are stressed. You're overwhelmed. There's times that you're just euphoric, flying high. Those things can all be within the same day when you run your own enterprise. It's not bad to possess emotions. It's bad if emotions run your business, because then it's almost like the emotion is now making bad decisions. And that's what usually causes people problems.
In business and in many parts of their life. So I get that. And that's another good logic.
And that's why the book is about business and life. If you are doing everything emotionally, you've got to actually look at things with a more pragmatic and long-term approach.
And you show them how. In fact, your book is loaded with suggestions and ideas that actually really work. How do you get your readers convinced to try it and keep trying it? Is that actually the magic?
One of the things that I point out from the stage with some of my audiences, I say, hey, just so you know, I am not a motivational speaker. I don't believe in motivation from a motivational speaker because you have to be motivated. And I'll also tell you, even though you may not think that I would be so honest, but I'm a pretty honest person, as a guy who's been paid for a long time to get on a stage and talk, I think a lot of the motivational speakers are frauds. Give you an example, 10 years ago during the Great Recession, a bunch of the motivational speakers quit. So how good of a motivational speaker are you if you quit? I don't know that I can motivate you, but I can certainly give you the tools and I can paint a picture. And that's the big thing. If I can paint you a picture and say, here's what this can look like, you don't have to be as stressed out. You're spending money that you don't have thinking you're going to buy your way into happiness. What if instead your work made you happy? There's a tremendous amount of satisfaction if you can say, I did what I wanted to do.
And you're suggesting ways that people will be able to do that. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and whether they take those things, Julia, and run with them, even if they take half of them, if they take 1/4 of them, I tell you, hey, you buy my book and read my book, it's going to take you, say, 5 hours. 5 hours and $20. If I save you a year of frustration running your business, or if I paint a picture of where your life can be during that time, isn't that worth it? People who promise you the world, you're going to make 10 times as much income and you'll never have to work. And that's all snake oil salesmanship. And I just can't sleep at night thinking that I've screwed somebody. So I looked at it as, can I actually give you some value?
Good for you. And it shows in the book. Now, if it's true that 98% of all the exercise equipment and diet plans and how to do better in business books, you know, go into this closet down in the basement that nobody ever reads or looks at or does, how are you going to keep yours out of that closet in people's hands long enough that they will read it and they will give it a chance?
It speaks to people that aren't just business owners. It speaks to anybody. A school teacher friend of mine sent me a message and said, I finished your book. I've never owned a business, but you know what? It told me I need to get off my butt and do a few things. That right there was what I needed to hear. And if you just look at it from the standpoint of, you don't have to do anything, but the average American spends 5 hours a day watching television per day. You could take just that 1 5-hour and read this book, and if it gave you 5 good ideas and 3 exercises that were going to change your life, why wouldn't you try it? So we talk about habits. There's 10 chapters devoted to habits. And I point out, Julia, that habits are like compound interest. They don't make you or break you all at once. And even if you're a smoker as a habit, it doesn't kill you tomorrow. It'll kill you 30 years from now. If you floss every day, it ain't going to make your teeth amazing tomorrow, but it's going to keep your teeth good for the next 30 years. That's the way with habits.
Amen. Now, I am curious, how do you fit all of the living that you like to do, speaking of habits, into any given day or month or year?
Yeah, there's stuff that doesn't get done. My wife and I like to exercise. We think that's important. When we're in Arizona for the half of the year we live in Phoenix, we hike or ride our bikes, go to the park with our dog, and exercise every day. I think you have to have a little happy time. I don't do a lot of vacation. We get done working, I make sure that Lori and I sit down, have a drink, and rehash the day or rehash my travels and that kind of thing. I make sure that we have time for the enjoyment because I don't ever want to be one of those people, and nor should anybody, that just works 100-hour weeks if you can keep from it. There are times when you have to, but you should try and squeeze in the joy part of your day. There's always more you could do. So the answer is you just finally admit that you're never going to get around to everything and then you prioritize.
And enjoy whatever you're doing. It sounds like that's one of your big mantras, to be sure.
That was a real epiphany. My wife and I had a real sit down and she talked to me about that. And she said, you have moments of great joy, but you also are sometimes never content. And I said, you know, that's what I really need to work on. So that was kind of a little sit down with myself. I said, content without complacence was really what I was striving for. Meaning, be happy with where things are and realize how good you got it. Don't become complacent, but be contented with what you have going right now.
Again, that's good for anybody, anywhere, doing anything. And, you know, you've got plenty of good skills in that arsenal. You've got plenty of projects, too many, maybe, as you're just telling us. Great places to live, a wonderful partner. If you could add something entirely new and different and crazy to your job situation tomorrow, what would it be?
Believe it or not, small craft food. I love sauerkraut and pickles. I make sauerkraut and I make pickles. And I believe that in the next 5 years at my farm, I've got this idea. Everybody's doing micro brew. I might just get a micro brewer to make a beer for me and I'll, you know, bottle it and label it. But I would like to do craft sauerkraut as an enterprise. I think I've got the marketing and the selling thing. So the promotional part of it, I'm good with. The production side, I still am on a learning curve on that. But it'd be a neat, rewarding thing because, you know, creating policy is not exciting to me. Going and being a politician would not be anything that would be fulfilling for me, I don't believe. But when you're a farm person, producing something and seeing the customer go, wow, that's really good. That's kind of what I think we're all made of. We love the idea that we're creating something.
And good for you. We'll be watching for that on the market. And meanwhile, Damien, last question. Is there a single savvy tip you can share with our listeners that they likely never thought of, but really need to know?
There's a guy named Scott Adams. He's the creator of the comic strip Dilbert. And he wrote a book that is called Win Bigly, and he wrote another book where he coined the phrase talent stack. I've referred to it for years as intentional congruence. You don't have to be an A-plus at something. Being an A-minus or a B-plus at seven things that work well together has been the secret to my success and the actual act of going out and doing the work. So the person that's listening right now, what things can you bring together and harness and make them your things, then capitalize on it.
Damien Mason is a Huntington businessman, podcaster, public speaker, farm owner, and most recently, author of Do Business Better. Damien, thanks for sharing your story with us today. Carry that gift.
Thank you very much, Julia. Thanks for having me on.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.